Okay, you are back listening to Green Left Radio for our special May Day program. And we actually are now joined by Noreen Rundle, who is a former teacher and has been a long-time UN activist with a long history of involvement in rank-and-file teacher groups. Noreen is also a socialist, and she was also part of, you know, quite this big campaign in the 90s to save the Richmond Secondary College. Good morning, Noreen.
Good morning.
So, Noreen, maybe to kind of start off, can you tell us a bit about your teaching career and, I guess, what led you to becoming involved with the union?
Yeah, I started teaching in 1978, and I'd never been involved with unions before that. But when I got to Oakley Secondary College, the union members explained to me that they'd been involved in a long campaign to win conditions at the school, and that every time a teacher was forced to work above those conditions, they would go on strike. And they did it, they'd walk out every second week for a day, etc., and they ended up with their names in Hansard because they were doing it, and that's why they had won the conditions at the school. So I joined the union, and by my second year of teaching, I was on the executive of the union at the school, of the sub-branch, and then I started to get involved with a rank-and-file group, and because I thought the union wasn't doing enough to protect teachers. And, yeah, for the rest of my time teaching, I was involved in that group. I got on the AU Council and, you know, tried to get the union to be more radical and fight for better conditions for teachers.
Yeah. And you also were, I guess, you're also an active teacher during the time of the Kennett government. And, of course, the Kennett government had a really kind of negative impact on schools. And, what can you tell us about the Kennett government's impact for teachers, students and communities?
Well, they just closed a lot of schools. You know, they were just interested in saving money. And so many schools got amalgamated and closed. And so teachers were disrupted, forced to work in new schools where, very different philosophies in some of the schools. And obviously students had to travel further to get to school, and lost their, the school that they were used to. So, and of course, teachers' conditions got a lot worse under Kennett, and the union was forced to go to a federal award, which was worse than our conditions, but at least gave us a little bit of protection against Kennett. So it was a very disruptive time, and of course, in working class communities, it was extremely difficult for both the parents and the students to have to change schools and go to places where they weren't well known.
And what can you tell us? You're part of this big campaign to stop the closure of Richmond Secondary. And what can you tell us about your involvement in that campaign? And also, what was the kind of outcome of that long campaign? Because it was a very long occupation of the school site.
Yes, that's right. I did go to meetings to, where they planned their activities. The occupation went on for a year, and they ran the school, even though teachers, they were with volunteer teachers for a long time. I wasn't part of the occupation, but I went along to meetings and, was involved in planning. And eventually, after a year, the government called the police in and ejected the occupiers and stopped the school from operating. And then they decided they, well, the reason the Kennett government wanted to close the school was because it was in a very nice place on the Yarra, and they wanted to build luxury apartments there. So then there was a picket to try and stop the workers going in, and that went on for a few days. And the agreement was that we would, if the police made us move on, that's what we'd do. But we, you know, we started the picket. And on the Monday, last Monday of the school year, the police charged us with batons, just chanting, "Move, move, move," at us. And a lot of people were injured. Some people ended up in hospital. I mean, I actually was hit. And, you know, it was quite a violent assault by the police. And in the end, a lot of us got quite a lot of compensation from the police because, oh, and also the police were not wearing their badges. So it was a very brutal and coordinated attack. And as a result, they, you know, they stopped the picket. But having involved both the Trades Hall Council, the union then, who hadn't been very supportive, then managed to negotiate that the school remain open, but it become Richmond Girls College instead of being a, well, it's called Melbourne Girls College, instead of being a co-ed school. And so boys in Richmond basically lost their local school.
Hmm. So in a sense, it was what you could probably describe what happened really as a kind of partial kind of victory in some sense.
Yeah. It was a partial victory, and, you know, the union didn't play a particularly good role, and it was, but we did involve the community, and there were various other unions that did support. And I think the strength of the community campaign, as well as the teachers who were involved, actually saved the site for public education, which was something, but it wasn't what it had been. And, yeah, it was a bit of a blow to the Kennett government, but, yeah, as you say, a partial victory.
And just to make one comment before going into the next question, I mean, it's kind of like bizarre kind of hearing it from you, Nora, in that one of the rationales for the school was because it was on a site and they wanted to kind of make room for luxury kind of apartments. But, I mean, one of the things, though, is when you build more apartments, build more houses, you know, some of the a lot of the people that will move into these houses do have children, and they do need schools to send their children to. So it does seem to be kind of a rather short-sighted kind of thing from the Jeff Kennett government back then.
Yeah, that is a very good point, because I started teaching at Oakley High School, which doesn't exist anymore, and they built apartments on that. And so now other schools in the area are quite crowded because they've lost that school. And, I mean, I forget how many houses they built on that site, but it was a lot because it was a big site. And, you know, the point you make is very true. All those kids had to go to school somewhere. Mm-hmm. So it was very short-sighted.
Similar situation in Newcastle where they cut the train line and they built on it. I mean, people talk smack about the CFMEU being corrupt, but they've got nothing on state governments handing over public assets to bloody property developers.
Exactly.
So going into the kind of next question, currently Victorian teachers and their union, the Australian Education Union, are currently campaigning for a livable wage and better conditions. They organised their first strike in 13 years with over 35,000 teachers and education staff joining the strike. And of course, the government has sort of leaked that they're going to be prepared to offer teachers a 28% wage increase. Over that said, there's no detail on what this 28% increase is going to entail. And of course, there's no discussion about you know, what is the government going to be offering in terms of working conditions, class sizes, and workload. So yeah, I guess would in terms of your experience as being a teacher's activist, a long-time teacher activist, what are some of the lessons you have kind of drawn from your experience in the context of looking at where things are at today?
Well, I mean, it's no surprise that teachers are so poorly paid at the moment, Victorian teachers, because the agreement in 2022 was for 2% at the time when inflation got as high as 7%. And given that in 2022, still reeling from COVID, teachers were had the power, I guess, that they don't usually have to do something that's and have the support of the community, and they didn't wage any campaign at all, except for barely a few meetings. So the union's really been forced into doing a lot more, but partly because of the parlous state of education in Victoria, despite teachers doing a fantastic job in terrible conditions. So they've been forced to have a stop work. One stop work so far, and they're having rolling stop work starting this week. The fact that the Victorian government released this offer to the media before even discussing it with the AEU shows that they're pretty desperate to get an agreement, and they're a little bit worried about the strength of anger amongst teachers. And, you know, I was at stop work and, you know, the anger was palpable. And what also struck me was that there was such strong support from the community. And when there were reports in the media, they found it very difficult to find parents who would condemn teachers for going out on strike. Instead, a lot of parents were very supportive and understand that schools are underfunded because, you know, their kids are there and they see there's not enough. So, as so many teachers said on that day, their working conditions are the students' learning conditions, and the students of Victoria deserve a lot better. And I think that the union has realised that they really need to do something. But, it'll be interesting to see. Because the last agreement, which was so poor, came the closest it's ever come to being voted down by regional member meetings. So I think that, you know, they have learned a bit of a lesson and that they will be a little bit more militant, but how far that'll go still remains to be seen.
Yeah, well, thanks for that, Noreen. Do you have any kind of final comments you'd like to make to before we wrap up this interview?
I hope that teachers and education staff will keep on fighting and that the union will not sell them out. They certainly deserve a pay rise to get their conditions up to much higher levels, and certainly the union cannot agree to any erosion of teachers' conditions, because they are working the hardest they've ever worked. They teach more hours and they have more outside teaching work to do than ever before. So I'm just hoping the union will do the right thing, and because the members are so strong that they'll be forced into it.
Thanks for that, Noreen. And it was definitely really good kind of hearing from your kind of experiences and also hearing some of your reflections on the Richmond Secondary College campaign.
Okay, thanks, Jacob.
Thanks, Noreen.
Thanks, Noreen.